Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
We are President Sister Evanson. We are giving a our presentation is about how to prepare your children for missions. And I hope this can be of value. As was stated, we are from Alberta, Canada. We have been serving here in the Orem, Utah mission since the end of June of last year, so just about a year. And we absolutely love it. There's nothing like serving a mission, and especially being mission leaders together. It is a sweet opportunity to be with some of the best men and women the world has to offer, to be honest. Just to get to know our audience a little bit, how many of you have had a missionary go serve already? Served or currently. Oh, great. And the rest of you are getting them ready to go. All right. So we have some experts and some novices. So that's good. Hopefully those who have already gone through it can correct anything that we say about it. But we hope that we give you some valuable information on what we see that is important to help prepare our missionaries to be successful in the mission field. I'm just going to put on my glasses so I can read. Now we, Sister Evanson and I, live pretty much in the mission field 24/7 now. And it is a miracle every day to be among these men and women who have given their whole souls and given up all their free time to serve the Lord. We, as mentioned, I served my mission in Arizona, and we have had five children who have all served. We had a son serve in Singapore, one serve in Halifax, Canada, our daughter served in Tokyo, son served in the Las Vegas West Mission, and then our daughter just recently got home from serving in the Berlin, Germany mission. So we've had them all over the world, and it's been a joy to see what it's done for them. Honestly, we thought that was our contribution to missionary work. We provided five, and so we should have been done. But the Lord had other ideas for us, and we now are here serving a mission ourselves. And so it's such a wonderful opportunity to be serving and going through much of what our children went through and feeling what they went through. It's been a real eye-opener and a real joy for us to be part of that. You know, all of us have been given the commission to go and make disciples of all people and to invite them to be baptized. It really is part of the gathering of Israel that on this side of the veil is to help everyone to have an opportunity to come unto Christ and receive the ordinances necessary for them to receive eternal life and to start their journey on the covenant path. The mission purpose, of course, is the missionary's purpose is to invite all to come unto Christ and to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end. And we have been blessed to see this over the last year firsthand and to see what happens as people change their life. It is really, truly remarkable. And, you know, whenever, as we've been taught by President Nelson, whenever we invite anyone to come closer to Jesus Christ, we are helping to gather Israel. And so in many respects, as we help as parents to gather our children to Christ and then help them be prepared to go out and participate firsthand in the gathering, we are absolutely sharing the gospel on a regular basis. I think sometimes members of the church kind of feel bad. I don't know why we do it, but we love to give ourselves guilt, and we often think that we're not sharing the gospel, but all around us, we're helping raise up generations that go and share the gospel. I was talking to some young men, some of our missionaries the other day, about the impact of bringing one person into the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that one person, because of the miracle of family history work in Temple, and the miracle of eternal lives and exaltation and celestial marriage, that one person is really thousands of people. When you start to think of the impact that one person coming into the covenant path has on eternity, It truly is a miracle when we have one person enter God's kingdom. And so your impact on raising a righteous generation and sending them out to serve missions has eternal consequences. And really, you know, you really are bringing thousands into the gospel as you share your light with your children and prepare them for missions. Now, just a little bit, you know, we are the mission president for Orem Utah Mission. In fact, we are just barely out of our mission right here. This is Orem, but it's actually right just outside of our mission, so we're just sneaking out of our mission for a few hours.
Don't tell.
Yeah. Our mission starts here in Orem and goes up to the point of the mountain, up just past Lehi, where all Travis Mountain outlet stores are, and that's the size of our mission. It's pretty small. It's about 40 miles across, and but it happens to be one of the, to our astonishment, honestly, one of the highest baptizing missions, English-speaking missions in the world on a regular basis. Our neighbors right here to the south, Provo, are usually the highest baptizing English-speaking mission in the world, and we're usually right just neck and neck with them. And so it's a remarkable place to serve. A lot of the missionaries, when they get the call to the Orem Utah Mission, they think, what are we going to do, be home teachers or some of that? But they quickly find that this is a wonderful place to serve. And we really do have a lot of fun. It's amazing how many people are moving here and how they are being attracted to this area and to the people. And they come, most of them will often ask people when they join the church, and they've moved here and they join the church fairly rapidly, some of them. We ask them, why'd you move to Utah? And the number one reason is, I don't know, I just thought, I just felt like we should come here. And I honestly think it's because of the people. I mean, I think that we as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have a light about us. And people see it. And they are attracted to it. And really, it's really easy to share the gospel with others, because all you have to do is share your light and invite them to be part of your lives. So just interesting about Utah and the Orem Utah Mission, we even meet people that have moved here and have never heard of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. One of the first people we ever met as mission leaders was a young man named Nolan, who had moved here for an internship in one of the local hospitals in Orem. He had lived here for 5 months, and the missionaries knocked on his door, and he told them he'd never heard of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which I find unbelievable, because everywhere you look here, there's a church. He just must not have been really paying much attention. But so there's still people that don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So share the gospel. Share it with everybody. Now, that's not why you're here. You're here to learn how to what we can do for our children. But my plea to you is to make sure that the greatest thing you can do, the greatest example you can give to your children, is to share the gospel yourselves and to have that experience for them firsthand as a family. And that's probably the greatest way to share the gospel and to prepare your youth for missions.
Thanks. First of all, we just applaud you for what you do. You do something that I could never do, teach my kids at home. So appreciate what you do and the love that you show your children. So when my husband was a stake president in 2013, we went down to the Philmont camp. Has anyone heard of that, the Philmont camp? Okay, we're from Canada, so this was new for us. And it was a phenomenal experience. So we went to Philmont, New Mexico. One of the sessions we attended was with Brother Gibson. He was the first counselor in the young men's presidency at the time. And he taught something that really stood out to me. He said, we are in the process of becoming and also helping those we serve to become. And in talking about becoming, he then said, everything, especially our homes, should be a mini MTC. And at the time, our oldest son was on a mission, and anything, of course, that relates to a mission, when you have a missionary, really catches a mom's eye. And so that caught my attention. And with four other children, soon to serve or soon to reach missionary age, that really stood out to me, that my home was the most important place for them to be having a missionary training center. And it hit me really hard. And I was like, why had that light bulb not gone off in my head before? You guys all know this, but this it hit me for a reason that I needed, that my home needed to be an MTC. And I couldn't get the thought out of my head. The home is the Missionary Training Center. In April of 2019, Elder Bednar, he says it the best, of course. He said, "Our homes are the ultimate setting for learning, living, and becoming. The ultimate missionary training center is in our homes." So our personal responsibility, of course, is to learn what we should learn, live as we know we should live, and to become as the Master would have us become. And our homes are the ultimate setting for learning, living, and becoming. And that was Elder Bednar. So, in Preach My Gospel, this is the best manual for preparing for mission ever, and I highly encourage you as families to get into Preach My Gospel right away. Preach My Gospel, A Guide to Missionary Service, says this: "The home is the best place to teach, learn, and apply principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A home established on gospel principles will be a place of refuge and safety. It will be a place where the Spirit of the Lord can abide, blessing family members with peace, joy, and happiness." And I just love that promise. So, of course, the home is the place where our children learn, and we as parents learn as well. Home is where we learn to act, to make good choices. Home is where we begin to share. We feel the light of Christ, and that's where we begin to share it. So my recognition that the home was the Missionary Training Center resonated with me in two ways. One, I was really grateful for the things that we were already doing to prepare our children to serve on missions. As I said, we already had a son on a mission. So I was really grateful that we were having weekly family home evening, and we were trying to do scripture study. Definitely not perfectly, but we were trying. And I was really happy that I had started making my children do their laundry when they were age 13, and then I just didn't need to worry about teaching them that skill later. The second thing was that I was certainly more motivated to be a little bit more intentional on teaching my children, being a little bit more diligent in making my home a missionary training center. And little did I know, of course, when our youngest went on her mission in 2020, that our home literally was her missionary training center, because the Missionary Training Center was closed, and she did it at home.
Now, I'm sure that many of you realize that missionaries who come out and serve a mission are a grand total of 6 years out of primary, which, when you think about it, is quite stunning that Heavenly Father actually trusts them. Those 6 years as a teenager may seem like an eternity when you're right in the middle of it, but all of you who have actually survived that 6 years knows just how quickly it actually flies by and how quickly they go. It's amazing once you have one of your children leave high school or go home or go ahead on a mission, it seems like time speeds up so dramatically, and you just realize how little time you have with them. A few years ago, I tore my ACL and had surgery, and I tore it while playing basketball, and I realized that I wasn't going to be able to play basketball much anymore. So I decided I needed to figure out some other way to exercise and try to stay in shape. So I started to run. Made a little two-mile loop from our house and went out there and tried to run 2 miles, and it was hard. I mean, it seemed like a very long distance, and I honestly couldn't even do it when I first started. But as I kept going, I could go 2.5 miles and then 3, and then pretty soon 4 and 5, and I ran a 10-kilometer race one time, and I started realizing, you know, I can run a little farther than I realized. And so one day, I went down to my treadmill, and I turned on my favorite movie that I like to watch when I run. And I mean, don't judge, but it's a movie. Maybe none of you heard of it, but it's called Gone in 60 Seconds, about guys who steal cars. But I don't know why I like that, but it takes my brain away, and I can run. And so I put in a movie, and I started to run on my treadmill, and 2 hours later, I was still running. I thought, hey, I could do a marathon. And so a marathon takes even a little longer than 2 hours, so I started to train. And I signed up for a marathon, and I began training for this marathon. And it took me about 12 weeks, so this 12-week program, to run a marathon. Went around the marathon, survived, and I've run a few more since, and I just absolutely love running. Now, there's kind of a duh statement when it comes to preparation. It's this: the greater your preparation, the more prepared you are. And that just makes sense, and the more successful your experience will be. And in running a marathon, I don't think anybody would think that, if you've never run, it would not be something you could just get out and run cold, just go out and run 26 miles. It's not the easiest thing to do in the world, and it's not a good idea to do it without any preparation. President Eyring once said, "The Lord will provide the opportunities, but whether we are prepared will depend upon us." And that's really what this is all about, is preparing for a mission. A mission is definitely not a two-mile little sprint. A mission is a marathon for these young men and young women who go out and serve. And I hope you kind of get the analogy here. Preparation helps you to be better and to be able to be successful and do it. A marathon takes weeks and months to prepare for, an event that lasts only a few hours. A mission is an event that lasts from 18 months to 24 months, and it makes good sense that it's going to need some real preparation. A mission is many of our missionaries have been prepared in gospel-centered homes, growing up their whole lives thinking about serving a mission, and many of our missionaries are converts of even less than a year, less than 2 years when they show up at the mission field. And they have also been prepared to the Lord in their unique and special ways. So everybody has a different experience when they come out on their mission and their preparation. Some missionaries come out to the field eager and ready to run. Some actually have no idea how to run. And some just don't even want to when they get here. And they quickly realize that the race is a lot harder than they thought it was going to be when they hit the mission field. All of them have the capacity, they learn, they grow, but missions are hard. We pray for each missionary to come being as prepared as possible, physically, spiritually, emotionally. It really is surprising to them when they arrive just how difficult it is, and I don't think that they expect that it's going to be that difficult. Any of you have missionaries have been out, those first few weeks are kind of hard on them. Sometimes 6 months in gets even harder, and it's always really is a marathon. One of our favorite, the missionary's favorite scriptures, let me just grab my scriptures. The one that seems to be talked about a lot in our mission is found in Ether chapter 12. I know you're all familiar with this scripture. It says, "And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things strong unto them." And that is so true with missionaries. Each missionary is going to discover that they aren't quite as strong on their own as they are if they bind themselves to the Savior. That applies to all of us, and maybe especially to you as parents and teachers of this Latter-day stripling army. You know, the moms of those stripling warriors probably felt a little weak and inadequate in their responsibility to raise these young men who became warriors in fighting the battles of the Nephites. Yet the lessons that they tried to teach at home, even in their weaknesses, were the very things that strengthened their sons and give them the things that they relied on. The sons themselves gave the tribute to their moms when they said, "We did not doubt our mothers knew it." You know, and I think that a lot of the missionaries come in with that type of belief, that even in their weaknesses, they don't doubt that their parents are rooting for them back at home. Alma 17 and 26, those two chapters, teach us a lot about preparing our children to serve serve missions and to serve any capacity we're called. These chapters are about the sons of Mosiah and Alma and their preparation experience that they had to serve. Now, let me just share with you a little bit of what Alma says about their mission. Alma chapter 17, let's see, we'll go verse 5. It says this: And this is talking about the sons of Mosiah when they return home from their mission. Now, these are the circumstances which attended them in their journeys, for they had many afflictions. They did suffer much, both in body and in mind, such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue, and also much labor in the spirit. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, and the Lord said unto them, go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye shall be patient and long-suffering in afflictions, that ye may show forth a good example unto them in me. And I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. Now, I don't think that when missionaries show up, they think that they're going to suffer in both body and mind and have all sorts of afflictions. But they do, and they come out, and sometimes it does surprise them a little bit about the struggles that they're going to have. It is called missionary work for a reason, because it is a labor. It is work, and it takes emotional, spiritual, and physical work to perform. A mission is not a great big, especially for youth. That's not what it is. And the mission field is nothing like being home, and it's even nothing like what they get at the MTC. It's the real thing. The mission, when they get here and they land, come in our doorstep and come into our home and get their first day, is the start of their marathon. And they need to be prepared.
Thanks. So the question is, how do we then prepare our sons and our daughters to serve a full-time mission? Alma chapter 17 also teaches us the answer to that question. So I encourage you just to write down Alma 17 and spend some time in your studies. But this is what it says in verses 2 and 3. Here's how the sons of Mosiah prepared for their mission. It said, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth, for they were men and women of a sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently, that they may know the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And then when they taught with the power and authority of God. And so I encourage you to sit down with your missionaries who are preparing and just to go over Alma 17. These are the things that helped Ammon and the sons of Mosiah prepare them for their marathon mission of 14 years. So that can help our youth for their 18 months to 2 years. So how do we raise our youth with an eye towards the mission fields? We've already talked about we make their homes a missionary training center every day. We have a phrase in our mission, every day, every day, every day. And so how do we do this? Well, I believe that the Savior, of course, is the answer to every question. And we are really blessed to have a missionary training center reference in the scriptures about the Savior's personal preparation for his ministry. So I figure that the Savior's preparation for his mission, his ministry, must be a pretty good MTC. So it must be the best way to pattern our homes also into an MTC. And you already know it. It is the Children and Youth Program, which I know that you're familiar with. And so the scripture is found in Luke verse 52. And it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. So I invite you just to be open to promptings and ideas that come to you from the Spirit as we quickly chat about each of these four areas. Whether you have a home with young children or even living by yourself, we know that one of the greatest blessings that we can offer the world is the power of a Christ-centered home, where the gospel is taught, covenants are kept, love abounds, and I know that the Spirit will speak personally to each of us as we just chat about how we create the Spirit and the atmosphere of an MTC in our homes. My husband suggested that another name for this presentation should be What a Mission President Wishes Missionaries Knew Before They Came on Their Mission.
So the first thing is this idea of that Jesus grew in wisdom, or knowledge. Knowledge, wisdom comes from knowledge. It comes from the application of knowledge. And how can we help these young men and young women as they prepare for missions grow in knowledge and wisdom? we would suggest that they start to seek to obtain what we call the missionary library. The missionary library consists of the Book of Mormon, Preach My Gospel, and the Words of the Living Prophets. And those three things are where we really encourage missionaries to focus on, and we would do the same with families preparing missionaries. Chapter 11 of Doctrine and Covenants, hold this again, is a revelation given to Hiram Smith. And in it, the Lord teaches him a few things. He says in verse 21, "Seek not to declare my word, but seek first to obtain my word, and then shall your tongue be loosed." So it's this invitation for us to seek the word of God first, and then go out and share it. I think that's probably one of the most important things to remember. The best place to learn that is in that missionary library. The scriptures, especially the Book of Mormon, is the primary source. We actually had one missionary come out just a little while ago who had never read the Book of Mormon and actually thought that King Noah in the Book of Mormon was the Noah that built the ark. Now he came from a difficult family situation and didn't really learn a lot, but he had never read the Book of Mormon. He finally finished the Book of Mormon about 3 months into his mission. And he's doing a great job, but I can't imagine, he's a great missionary already, I can't imagine what he would have been like had he come already with some background knowledge. The Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and it contains the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it gives the direction and guidance to us individually. We say that the Book of Mormon contains the fullness of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the place where the concepts of faith, repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end are detailed and outlined better than anywhere else, ever. You cannot find a place anywhere that has a greater knowledge, teachings than that, and that is exactly what the missionaries will be teaching. The second most important thing that they can start using is Preach My Gospel. Preach My Gospel is the manual of a missionary. But I would even go farther to say that it can be the manual of your home. It is such a powerful book, and if you haven't read through it, or if you haven't taken time as a family to go through it, I would really encourage you to do it. It is such a marvelous book.
It's like the spark notes of the gospel.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Spark notes of the gospel. The first president says in Preach My Gospel that it is intended to help missionaries be better prepared, more spiritually mature, and more persuasive in their teaching. And we just encourage you to use it daily. And if you have a son or daughter getting ready for a mission, get them a copy and start having them reading it daily. Now, and just so you know, you can find it on your phone. It is under, you probably all know this, but Gospel Library. It's simply under Handbooks. So the little blue one, Handbooks, and there is right there Mission Calling. And in that library of Mission Calling Libraries, there is a number of really great things for you to use for your missionary library. Preach My Gospel being one. The second is Missionary Standards for Disciples of Christ. That's the handbook. That's their standards. I never like using the word rules in mission with missionaries because they're not rules. These are adults out here voluntarily serving missions. And so these are standards that we want them to apply so they can be successful. Also in here you'll find a little book called Adjusting to Missionary Life. Phenomenal little book right here. In fact, I think you're going to talk about that in a minute, aren't you? Yeah, I'll save that for you. And the other one is a little book called Safeguards for Using Technology. Those four books, Adjusting Missionary Life, Safeguards for Using Technology, Standards for Disciples of Christ, and Preach My Gospel, are the manuals for missionaries. Safeguards for Using Technology is one that I would suggest that all of us use. It's also a great manual on how to use technology safely for teenagers and for adults, for that matter. And then finally is Words of the Living Prophets. And really get them involved in the last 6 months that we're taught from the brethren. We always encourage our missionaries to spend time each day reading and going through the conference talks of the apostles and the First Presidency in particular over from the last 6 months, and really stay current on what the brethren are trying to teach us. Now, as your missionary to be learns from this particular library, they will know who they are. They will learn that they're sons and daughters of God. They will learn and understand better the doctrine of Christ. They will learn their missionary purpose, which is to help others receive the restored gospel through faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement, repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end. And all of this they will learn is powered by obedience. Of all the things that determine whether a missionary is successful or not, brothers and sisters, it is obedience. I think a mission is all about learning how to be obedient. And that is, if you can instill this desire for obedience into your missionary, they will be a phenomenal missionary. I think it is also wisdom to have knowledge of what a mission is. It is always important for all of us to realize that there are two options for missions. A proselyting teaching mission is all about finding and teaching. It's about talking to people, to strangers. It's about knocking on doors. Your son and daughter are planning on teaching mission, it's good to give them opportunities to do this. Help them give lessons, to teach in family home evening, to have them making phone calls, get a job, do volunteer work, any of those kind of things to be able to help them talk to people. Because a lot of missionaries, it's amazing to me sometimes, we'll have a missionary gets in a little bit of emotional crisis, and we'll start talking to them, they'll go to a counselor, they'll get some help, and one of the first things they say is, man, I didn't know I have to talk to so many people. Like, I just can't talk to people. It gives me anxiety to talk to people. And I always say, well, what did you think you were going to do on your mission? I mean, that's what a teaching proselyting mission is talking to complete strangers and sometimes getting rejected by them. And that does sometimes cause a lot of anxiety in our youth. So the other mission is, of course, a service mission. And it's mostly about serving. So that's another thing we can do to prepare our youth is to provide opportunities for our children to serve and get them involved with volunteer work and serving in the community. Our Savior Jesus Christ did both a service and a teaching mission. And both types of missions are amazing, and both are equally important to the Lord. And I think that's an important thing to remember as we prepare our youth to serve.
Okay, so that was spiritual. So, Jesus grew in stature, and this is the physical. I spent 30 years in the fitness field as a career, personal training, and I thought I retired when I came on my mission, and then I realized that I'm out of retirement. Some of these missionaries have no idea how to eat, exercise, sleep, all sorts of things. So, let's talk about the physical for a minute. What are some of the physical things that we would love the missionaries to learn before they come on a mission? How to ride a bike. If they check on their paper that they can ride a bike, please make sure they know how to ride a bike. How to walk around all day, 10 plus miles a day. How to cook fast, simple, and healthy meals. How to clean, how to shop at a store. Some of them have never, ever gone shopping at a store before. How to do their laundry. Trust me, you don't want another 18-year-old trying to teach your child these things because they don't know how to do it either. Some people call me the mission mom, and I'm not. I'm a spiritual leader with a personal training of the missionary's job on the side. We do take care of all their physical, emotional, spiritual needs, but having these necessary life skills is so helpful before they come out on a mission. One of the most surprising emails I got from one of my sons when he was on his mission, I think just a few months into his mission, he emailed and said, Mom, I want to thank you for teaching me how to clean a bathroom. He just said, I didn't realize that four young men could make such a mess. Here's a few other things that would be helpful. How to budget, how to exercise, how to sew, how to sleep. How to take care of a cold, the difference between ibuprofen and Tylenol, how to read a food label, how to eat good food. We had a young man that came out and on his own, shopping on his own. he bought gummy bears, and he ate gummy bears until he gummed himself up, and it was he did not feel so good. And so we had to talk, and we fixed up his nutrition.
We honestly thought we'd seen everything as parents.
We did not see anything. But we are now seeing everything. Let's see. How to fix a bike tire, how to fill up a car with gas, how to manage stress, how to plan, how to live without a phone, a TV, a computer, or social media. So physically, they just need to be prepared. I'm not telling you to take away their phone, TV, computer, and social media, but teach them how to put it down. Teach them, you know, they're not able to turn to these things as stress release on their mission, and often that's what they do beforehand. So just to teach them some better skills. So they just need to be prepared. We already talked about give them a responsibility, teach them to work, teach them to be disciplined, teach them how to take care of themselves, how to cut their toenails. and of course, nutrition's the big one. And in our mission, the area presidency, our missionaries don't eat at members' homes because they're busy working. And so they have to feed themselves. And that's a really important skill to come back out with. So one of the best things that you can teach your up-and-coming missionaries to help them be effective, strong, powerful missionaries is to take care of some of those physical things.
There's a really great promise in the beginning of Preach My Gospel that says, more happiness awaits you than you ever experienced as you labor among his children. So that is a promise. And a lot of missionaries come believing that they're going to be happy all the time. And that is unfortunately just not the case. Missions are full of joy, but they're also full of discouragement and frustration and heartache. Do we have the Joseph Mission Life?
Yeah.
Can we show the little chart? So there's a little chart in Adjusting Missionary Life that pretty much explains mission. You can't really see it very good, but it pretty much explains how missionaries feel. And it's color-coded, green, yellow, orange, and red. And it just, missionaries, we have them kind of characterize themselves with this. And it really is, we've got the green is everything's going great, and the red is they're pulling their hair out and they can hardly stand it anymore. And so we really want to have our missionaries emotionally self-reliant and resilient. Before mission, life is kind of like a walk on a city trail, mostly paved, pretty nice, some ups and downs. On a mission, they are suddenly on the south ridge of Everest and expected to climb, and they've never done it before. A mission is an emotionally taxing experience. It has the greatest joys and the greatest struggles. We were in a meeting one time with Sister Nelson, President Nelson's wife, and with a bunch of missionaries, and she asked them, how many of you have had the best day of your life on your mission? All of them put their hands up. And then she said, how many of you had the worst day of your life on the mission? Every one of them put their hands up. You know, it really is that. It's ups and downs. The second biggest problem that we see in sisters and elders is mental health challenges. So consider how you can prepare them emotionally. Anxiety and depression are very real and are magnified exponentially in the mission field. Many current stress release activities are not available when they go on missions. That's a lot of it stripped away from them. Just even the opportunity of being alone, they can no longer be alone. They can't just go in a room and close the door and sit there alone. So they, you know, just something like that is no longer available to them. Yeah. So those kind of things can be done with missions, but they, to be honest, if they go in a room, they're supposed to, the rule says, the standard says that you have to be in sight and sound of your companion at all times, except the bathroom. And so if they're going to go into their bedroom to pray out loud, the door stays open. So that's probably one of the most challenging things that a lot of missionaries have, is that. And even taking a nap in the afternoon. They can maybe take a 15-minute real quick snooze at lunchtime and then off they go again. Having companion 24/7 is going to be one of the greatest joys and one of the hardest things that they struggle with. Now, we've showed you Adjusting Missionary Life. And we had no idea about this until we received our call, this little manual. And as soon as we saw this book, we quickly crossed out the word missionary and sent a copy to each of our children. Because it is really about adjusting life. It is a phenomenal manual, and we'd really encourage you to bring it up with your family and go through it and teach them how to use it. It involves just kind of doing a little survey of how you are and then telling you how to cope with the things you're struggling with.
And it's online. You can't get a hard copy. It's all online.
You can't anymore. No, it's all online now. So importantly. Now, you may wonder, what is the number one problem on missionaries? Number one problem in a mission, the mission president deals with, second, just above emotional difficulties, is masturbation and pornography. And you may be surprised by that, but that is the number one thing I deal with as a mission president. Not having this self-discipline in place leads to a lot of low self-esteem and struggles on missions. The best thing that your home MTC can do is be aware of what your sons and daughters are dealing with. It is sad, but it is a fact that children are exposed to pornography as early as the age of 8. Most of the young men I talk to started looking at pornography when they were 10 years old, which is a tragedy. And if you haven't talked to your children about it, please do it. Please talk to them and have them be very accountable with their phones and what they're doing. Many missionaries come out having never talked about these things with parents, and sometimes it even skips past bishops and state presidents. A missionary needs the spirit, and trouble with self-mastery can only make that more difficult. So please help them take care of these things years before they come.
Awesome. So Jesus grew in favor with God, which is, of course, the spiritual. And this is one of the marvelous aspects of the mission field. It's full of growth for these young men and young women. It's really a spiritual gym. And in 2 years, if your missionaries do the work, they will powerfully strengthen their spiritual muscles. Built into their schedule is, of an elder over 2 years, is 700 hours of personal gospel study. They will be marvelous of understanding the gospel. That's amazing. So if there's a couple things a missionary will benefit if they come out to the field with beforehand. One is a love for Jesus Christ. This is the work of Jesus Christ. So we hope that they have a testimony of Jesus Christ and his atonement. And if it's not a burning one, then even just that little seed of a hope that it is true. That, of course, includes that Joseph Smith was called as a prophet to initiate the restoration, a testimony that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. The Book of Mormon really is the key to gathering Israel. A knowledge that they are sons and daughters of God, and that they have a testimony of living prophets and apostles. We would also love them to come to the field with, 2, having read the Book of Mormon on their own. 3, we would love them to come to the field with a desire to serve. Some of our missionaries come because they were made to come, or they didn't want to disappoint somebody, or it was an expectation. And thankfully, some of that pressure just come and serve, and once they're here, it switches to desire to serve. But if they can come with a desire to serve, they just start off as stronger, more powerful missionaries right from the start. So this really is the Lord's work. And if the missionaries can come to the field with the love of Christ, having read the Book of Mormon, and having that desire, then they will do more than just go on a mission. They will become a missionary. They will become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then just like Ammon, they will really truly be an instrument in the hands of God to do the greatest work on earth today. They will bless the lives of countless others, including their own, their companion, and of course, us and the entire mission. So I just wanted to conclude with this little thought about raising children and ourselves with an eye towards the mission field. So I recently heard Elder Bednar teach that it's the next covenant that we need to make that's the most important. And what is our next covenant? For members of the church, that would be the weekly partaking of the sacrament. The next big covenant for your sons and daughters, however, for those who are baptized, is the endowment in the temple. Serving a mission is not a covenant. It's an opportunity, and it's a great blessing, but the next most important step for your young man and your young woman is found in the temple. Let me share this little story with you. Our youngest son was right on that age change year, and so with that age change from 19 to 18, our third son had his opportunity to go on his mission immediately after high school. He put in his mission papers halfway through senior year, was called to leave right after he was finished high school. Now in Canada, school goes right till the end of June, and he was called to leave in mid-July. So there we had a two-week window, and he wasn't able to go to the temple until graduation from high school was completed. So it was a really busy time. We had sports, championships, stuff right up until the end, graduation. And then we had these 2 weeks in July. He had a young men's camp. We had a family trip. We had a son, another son that got married. And we, of course, had shopping and packing for the mission. And somehow we had to try to fit the temple in there. And I'm sad to say, but in the rush of preparing for his mission, that temple endowment just seemed like a check the box, try to get it done to get him on his way. And I discovered that I really needed to evaluate my home MTC priorities, that the temple was not a step to the mission. The temple is the step. The temple is the next covenant for them to make along the covenant path. The temple will endow them with power, and what better way to prepare them for the temple, or for what better way to prepare them for their mission than by being endowed in the temple. So just think of your temple covenants: obedience, sacrifice, living the law of the gospel, living the law of chastity, consecration. That describes a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what a missionary is trying to become. So when they are preparing to make those covenants, they will be that powerful disciple of Jesus Christ. So I just invite you to make the focus of your home MTC on making those covenants with the Lord in the temple. Oh, sure. I'll just bear you my testimony before I turn it back over to President, that this is a great work. I had not served a mission. I thought my job was to send my kids on missions. And I, having five children serve missions, I did not understand really what it was and what they go through. But now that I'm here, I see it. And these young men and young women are marvelous. They are, I think President Nelson said, the greatest generation of missionaries ever. And you were raising this army of missionaries to come and serve the Lord. This is the Lord's work, and we see miracles every day. I say, what a coincidence, and I'm always surprised, and I need to stop being surprised. I see the hand of the Lord in every missionary's life, in every person that they talk to, and just all these little things. It really, I wish I could express how miraculous it is to be a part of this great work, and you're a part of it. You are preparing these young men and women. You're teaching them, and we are so grateful for what you're doing. I have a testimony of Jesus Christ. I love him. We wouldn't be here if we didn't know that this was the greatest work that we could do. It's such a joy. It is such a joy to be a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see that as parents. It's hard to be parents, I know, but it is such a joy to see them grow and become. And it is such a spiritual, rewarding journey. And I am just grateful for this gospel. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This really is a marvelous work. President Nelson called this the greatest cause, the greatest challenge, and the greatest work upon the earth today, the gathering of Israel. And he's invited us to all be a part of it, a big part of something big. And we're grateful to be part of it as well. Just in conclusion, one challenge or suggestion to you is to, in family evening, in your gospel study together with your family, pull out section 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants and help the young men, young women in your homes realize what this section is talking about. This is a section given to missionaries. We have our missionaries recite it at every meeting. And here's some of the things it says in there. See that you serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. Thrust in your sickle with your might. And these are action words that take a lot of effort. Have faith, hope, charity, and love. Have an eye single to the glory of God. Remember faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility. And of course, ask and you'll receive, and knock and it'll be opened unto you. That really exemplifies more than anything else what a mission is all about. Developing these wonderful characteristics, working hard, giving yourself to Heavenly Father and becoming a consecrated disciple of Jesus Christ. We hope, and I think some of you who have had missionaries return, that when they return, they are different. That there's just a little bit of the rough edges of the world knocked off of them quite a bit, and they come home loving their Savior and wanting to be tied, bound to Him forever in the covenant path. Missions are wonderful. They're the best thing. I think that they are the best thing ever. I often wonder why Heavenly Father sends 18, 19, 20-year-olds to do this kind of work, because they're not very good at it. That's the one thing I've learned. They're terrible. But they prove to those who they're teaching that God uses the weak to make His work happen. And they show without a doubt that this is God's work when they bear their testimonies. I bear my witness that Heavenly Father lives and that this is His kingdom upon the earth, and that your sons and daughters who serve are really, truly magnifying their love of the Savior. And we're so grateful for what you do as parents to prepare them. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.